Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk podcast. It's myself and Chris, as always, doing a little preview of a ranked v ranked matchup at the Fort this weekend. The West Georgia Wolves come into town at 5-0 to take on the 3-2 Govs. So the Govs are ranked 22nd in one poll, 21st in another. West Georgia is ranked 16th in both. So nice little rank v rank matchup. A chance for Ferris to get his second UAC home win. So yeah, Chris, should be a good game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we said it leading up to this weekend. I don't think this is I don't think anybody was expecting this to be as big of a game as it's going to be.
Yeah, so, I mean,
and then credit goes to West Georgia. Like, honestly, like, got to give them respect where it's due. Like I said, I don't think anybody, especially us, when we did our preseason stuff, I don't think anybody expected them to be 5-0. So,
no, absolutely not. No, it's. It would have been more believable if they were 0-5 than 5-0. So,
yeah,
you know, they were predicted to finish at the bottom of the conference. So definitely impressive run for them. They have one of the longest win streaks in the entire country. So,
did they have them below Utah Tech?
No, Utah Tech was finished.
Okay, all right. Still,
yeah,
regardless.
So Six wins in a row going back to last year. It's the fourth longest win streak in the FCS right now. So, looking at their first five games, I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm not being a hater at all. It's impressive to win five games. Which of their wins do you think is the most impressive?
I would say, well, I mean, Samford, they just kind of blew them out of the water. But as we've seen, Samford is terrible.
Which they did that last year, too.
Which, and they, you know, to their credit, they're 2-0 against Samford. So, yeah. I think, didn't they have a win against Nichols?
Yeah, Nichols was ranked at the time, yeah. And they blew them out. So,
yeah, I thought they did. Nichols has kind of run into some of the UAC teams, so I can't remember if that was who played them, if they played West Georgia or not. But yeah, I would have to say Nichols, because you know Nichols had that week one win versus Incarnate Word, who just beat Abilene last weekend. So, I mean, for West Georgia, that looks like it don't look like it. That is a good solid win for them.
Yeah, I mean, blew out Stanford. Blew out Nichols, like you said, was ranked. Close game against East Tennessee State, who is coached by Will Healy, has an experienced quarterback. Blew out Eastern Kentucky, who, you know, that's a conference opponent. That's always impressive. And then they beat Southern Utah last weekend at the Bell. So, definitely an impressive resume. I mean, all credit to them. Like you said, nobody really expected that to happen. So that's kind of cool. It'll be a tough game for sure.
Yeah.
We'll go over. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it'll be a tough game for them. You know, nothing against them and not trying to be biased towards the Govs. But, I mean, I think we said it Sunday. You fly all the way to Utah, then you come home. Now you got to come up here and face a better team than who you played last weekend. So, it'll be tough. It'll be brutal for them, I think. But they've shown to step up to the task each week. So
for sure. I mean, you can't count them out. I mean, this looks like a very tough stretch, though, because like you said, they went to Utah last week, flying back across the country to Clarksville. Then they have a home game against Abilene next weekend, and then they have – a home game. They have to go to Tarleton after that.
Man, that's a rough 4-game stretch. You know, that started last weekend and now continuing this weekend. So, yeah, this next few weeks will be interesting to see what they do, and then obviously it'll be interesting to see what the Govs do too.
And it's, you know, this is how you can tell they didn't plan on them being good, because they gave them such a brutal schedule, and they don't have a bye week until after their 10th game. So that's how you know that the conference thought they were going to suck.
Yep.
So props to them. They're a good team.
Absolutely. We'll
inside the series, we'll go here. We've only played each other once, and that was last year. Austin Peay won 20-16. Real slugfest of a game. Their quarterback actually had a great game. He threw for like 380 yards. That was a kind of an anomaly because they're usually a running game. Yeah, last year he went 33 of 47. He threw it 47 times against us last year. That's crazy. And for 388 yards and a touchdown. So
for some reason, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, for some reason, that game last year, I mean, obviously we played them, and I remember the Govs winning that game, but for some reason, that game does not just stick out. I don't really remember it all that well. But,
yeah, I don't either. I mean, we weren't there, obviously, so that probably didn't help. But I think so what a Govs win would mean, if Austin Peay wins this, it would be the first ranked win of the Ferris era. So that would be huge. Yeah. First ranked win since beating number 20 Central Arkansas back in 2023, which was actually when we won the UAC championship. And it would be our highest ranked win since beating number 16 EKU in 2022. So that'd be pretty huge. Like I said, it would be Ferris's second home conference win because of the struggles last year.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And again, we've already said it once or twice already just in this episode, but it's just crazy to think that we're talking about a highest ranked win in the last couple of years against West Georgia.
Right. All right.
So again, credit all to them and what they've done. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, this is definitely not expected, but no. Chris Parson has had a rushing touchdown in 3 straight games. He's the first Gov to have a rushing touchdown in 3 straight games since Javon Jackson back in 2021. And Mike Golello did it in 2021 and as well. So
I was just about to say, I think Mike had a few games there in a row where he had a rushing one. So yeah.
That 2023 game was so fun. That team was so fun.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun group to watch. So, but
this, Will Hardrick, the honorary number 0 for this week is going to be Cortland Simmons. It was Jackson Head last week. So Cortland gets to tote the rock wearing 0 this weekend. Always cool to point that out. And then, yeah. We'll move on to West Georgia, really. So, if you look, obviously, their player to watch is going to be their quarterback, Davin Widener. So, if you look at his stats, he actually leads the UAC in turnovers. He has 7 interceptions. So, that is definitely something to keep an eye on. He's prone to turning the ball over. He likes to run. He likes to get out of the pocket. So far this season, he's 65 of 129 for 772 yards with 8 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. He also has 59 rushes for 240 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, and he played at Ole Miss, by the way. He transferred from Ole Miss. He was their quarterback last year. He threw all over us. So I think it's fair to say that's definitely keeping him in check is going to be key. Looking at Austin Peay's depth chart, I'm not expecting any changes this week to the starting lineup. The 2-deep is exactly the same, except the 2-deep was the same last week too. But, Chris, did you notice there was a change to the offensive line for the first time last week?
I think me and you talked about this at the game, but I cannot remember what it was.
Yeah, so for the first four games, the line was the exact same. It was from left to right. It was Sales, Bowden, Curtin, Hilliard, Baugh. And then last weekend, it was Sutton, Baugh, Burt, Curtin, Hilliard, Sales. So Baugh went from right tackle to left guard. Sales went from left tackle to right tackle. Bowden went to the bench, and Sutton started at left tackle. So it actually worked out pretty good because in the Abilene game, I think that's why they switched it up. In the Abilene game, they allowed three sacks and five tackles for loss. And then they switched it up for the Utah Tech game, and Tech only got one sack all day.
That's why that was my next question. I think I only remembered one sack, so
So the
yeah,
two deep
that's
hasn't changed. The two deep still has the original starting five. But I'm curious to see if they roll with kicking Baugh inside and putting Sutton on the left side. I'll see if they stick with that for 2 weeks in a row because it seemed to work well last week.
gonna say whatever you did last week, I would not fool with. But that
Well, I
is
mean, you are playing against a better defensive front, but Utah Tech was good coming into our game though. Like we did talk about that. They were leading the UAC in sacks, actually. So but now West Georgia actually they averaged 3.2 sacks a game, so you're playing another tough defensive front. In terms of overall stats, obviously West Georgia has the better record, 5-0. Total offense. So in total offense, Austin Peay's averaging 434 yards per game. West Georgia's averaging 372. So Austin Peay's got a clear advantage there. Granted, West Georgia's played a tougher schedule. Rushing offense, this is where West Georgia, I kind of told you that they like to run the ball, except against us last year for some reason. But rushing offense, they're averaging 215 yards per game on the ground, which is crazy because that's going to be the matchup difference maker. Because they're averaging over 200 rushing yards a game, and Austin Peay's defense is only allowing 85.2.
Yeah, I mean, Govs, I think their defense are allowing 3 yards per carry, excuse me. And then West Georgia's like right at 2.9 per carry. So, I mean, it's right there at the lines. I mean, it's pretty even.
Yeah, I mean, it feels obvious to say it, but this feels like a game that's going to be won in the trenches at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They
It's not.
like to pound the ball. We like to stop the run, so.
Yeah, and that'll be kind of be my, when we get to our keys to the game. I mean, that'll probably be one of my keys to the game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, I mean, it's hard to judge because we have so many transfers. Like Miles Wiley wasn't here last year. Ellis is pretty much the only contributor in the secondary that was here last year. So it'll be interesting to see if Widmer can throw on our secondary like he did last year. Because last year he had no problem throwing all over the yard. I wonder if that's going to be their strategy again this year.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing these days with the transfer portal. You get a lot of new faces, but I think that's where the Govs kind of have an advantage there with Ellis. Ellis, he's seen this guy. He knows what he can do. He's played against him before, so I don't know what they I don't know what theirs is like if they got new faces or whatnot. I don't know, but I think that's an advantage there for the Govs.
So they're a pretty transfer heavy team too. Like
Yeah, I thought they were.
they got 30 transfers this offseason, which is still not as many as we did, but and they're not as highly touted as ours, but they did get a lot of turnover as well. So that's the thing. They don't pass the ball that great. I mean, they're averaging 158 yards and through the air. So you have to feel good about that. But it's just going to be the ground game. You got to stop that ground game. You got to get to their quarterback. We'll go over to West Georgia now, go over their game notes. So, like I said, 6-game winning streak going back to last year, fourth longest active win streak in the country. Here's something that's also going to be interesting. The Govs have been great on offense on third down and in the red zone. Actually lead the league in red zone offense. The West Georgia defense, though, has been incredible on third down. They're only allowing 30% conversion rate on third downs. So they're like the definition of a bend don't break defense. They get tougher the shorter the field gets. So that'll be interesting to watch. Interesting little notes from West Georgia's side. This will be the first ever ranked on ranked matchup in West Georgia's Division I history. Granted, they haven't been in Division I very long, but still, this is a game that they're going to be amped up for. They're ranked in D1, playing against the ranked D1 team for the first time ever. Like this, they're gonna have no problem getting riled up for this one. So interesting. I don't think you knew that. I don't think you know this because I didn't know it until I read it last week. Right? They were leading against Southern Utah 24-3 in the third quarter. They ended up winning 27-24. Like Southern Utah mounted a ferocious comeback. Well, their kicker hit a game-winning 46-yard field goal at the buzzer. Do you know who their kicker is?
I knew what happened in the game, but I did not pay any attention to who the kicker was, no.
It's Tommy Holden, who was on our roster last year.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he transferred from here to West Georgia, and he is capable of hitting a 46-yard walk-off field goal. So that's a cool little tidbit there.
So he was back up to Carson?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And last week they ran for over 200 yards again. That was the second time this year they rushed for over 200 yards. Their offense had a turnover-free game for the second week in a row last week. Another interesting tidbit. The Wolves defense has forced a turnover in every single game. They've forced turnovers. They're eighth in the entire FCS in turnovers generated. So they get after the ball. And, you know, like we've said, turnovers and penalties are usually the difference makers in games like this. They're entering UAC play leading the league. They're ranked 10th in the country in total defense and 9th in the country in rush defense and scoring defense. So they're definitely tough on defense. And they generate takeaways. So you got to be careful with the ball. Got to take care of the ball. Don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, I think we've seen that the last two games. You know, one in not in favor of the Govs, and then last week in favor. You know, they pretty much did the same thing that Abilene did to us. You know, turned the ball over and short field for the Govs. So, like to put that streak to a halt this weekend.
Yeah, I mean this is their first 5-0 start since 2018 when they were still D2. And it's their eighth 5-0 start overall. So the last time they started 5-0 was in 2018. They ended up going 10-2. They were a very good D2 team, by the way. Oh. Series history, of course, like we said, we've only played each other once. That was last year. The Govs came out on top, 4-point win. West Georgia, since becoming a D1 team, has played ranked teams 3 times, and they lost to Central Arkansas last year by 1. They lost to Tarleton by 17, and then they beat Nichols. So that, you know, their record was bad last year, but they were not a terrible team. I mean, they came close to beating Austin Peay. They came close to beating – they lost to Central Arkansas by 1. Mm-hmm. And Central Arkansas is bad this year, but they were not bad last year.
No, they were good. That's kind of what I remember about West Georgia last year was, you know, kind of similar to what we might see on Saturday. I mean, they were in a dogfight every single week, and they did not make it easy even on the, you know, like on the Central Arkansas and the Tarletons of the world. So, you know, now they're even better, so you got to expect even bigger dogfight.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So the areas where Austin Peay has like the clear statistical advantage is total offense. Austin Peay's 19th and West Georgia's 46th. Passing offense, Austin Peay's 37th. West Georgia's 103rd. Scoring offense, Austin Peay's 20th. West Georgia is 24th. Rushing defense, Both units are top 10. West Georgia has the 9th rushing defense. Austin Peay 7th. And then Austin Peay slightly better on 3rd and 4th downs. And Austin Peay 10th in the country in red zone offense. So those are your clear advantages there. West Georgia runs the ball better. But they defend the pass better and they run the ball better. Those are the main keys there. And when they allow, this is kind of like the magic number. When West Georgia allows less than 300 yards of offense, they don't ever lose. So if Chris Parson and the rest of our offense can get over that 300 yard mark, you got to feel pretty good.
Yeah. I feel like if they're, you know, they're riding pretty high after last weekend, they can play like they did last week, and I don't think that'll be a problem. The thing that concerns me, and Kyle brought this up Sunday, you know, are the penalties.
Yes.
You know, they got to limit the penalties. We can, you know, like we said on Sunday, we can get away with that kind of stuff against Utah Tech, but when we start getting into these ranked matchups, which we're going to run into one Saturday, and we're probably going to run into a couple more before the year's out, you know, 11 turnovers ain't gonna do it. It's not gonna cut it.
No, you can't get that many penalties. I mean, it kills you. It, when you win by 35, you know, 30, 35 points, it doesn't matter. But when you're playing against an undefeated team, you got to think you can't have 11 penalties.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see. And this doesn't. I'm not trying to cover up what they did last week as far as penalties, but I'd like to see how many of those were with the backups in.
Yeah, that definitely probably didn't help, but it's kind of a trend at this point, though.
Yeah.
Like, so we'll see. Right.
Absolutely.
We'll see. I mean, you did have backups playing a lot and Moorhead, too, so that could contribute to it. And then the middle game was kind of testy at points. So,
yep.
Conference play, will, you know, from here on out, we'll see if it continues to be a problem. I know Ferris in the press conference after has addressed it. You know, he doesn't want to be known for that. They do play with a lot of heart, though. Not excusing it. I'm just saying they play tough. Right. Players to watch. So, obviously, the quarterback, Widener, he's a weapon. He makes plays with his feet. He's not going to completely wow you through the air. I mean, Austin Peay knows what they're getting in for because they did it last year. It's actually like the best game he's ever had. His career high, I told you he threw for 388 last year against us. His season high this year is 263 against East Tennessee State. So nothing crazy. And Latrell Morrell, their running back, has gone for 100 or more yards 3 times already. So he's like their true bell cow. Him and the quarterback just love to run all over people. He had 170 on the ground against Nichols, his best game of the season. So that's pretty impressive to go for almost 200 yards against a ranked team.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll be definitely something to keep an eye on. Oh, I wanted to talk about this. So this is kind of cool. West Georgia and Austin Peay connections. So, like I told you already, Tommy Holden, last week's hero, is a transfer from Austin Peay, where he spent the 2024 season. Also, you'll probably remember this name, Chris. West Georgia's co-defensive coordinator, Trip Weaver, was Coach Ferris's defensive coordinator last year.
I do remember that name.
David Hogue, who is a defensive end for West Georgia, and APSU defensive end Marcus Howard are both from the Denver area and spent time together at Northern Colorado. And then APSU's Kendrick Clark transferred from North Greenville, where he played against West Georgia in 2022 and had 2 pick sixes.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. Rob Johnson and Bryce Hicks from West Georgia went to high school with Austin Peay's Montrez Smith. And then APSU head coach Jeff Ferris was at Duke the entire time that West Georgia's offensive coordinator Austin Davis was on the Blue Devils offensive line.
Oh, wow.
So there's quite a lot of Yeah, there's Jeff Ferris, you know, Trip Weaver and Austin Davis. He knows both of their coordinators very well. And it's both of their first years in Carrollton. So that's obviously a testament to them because they're undefeated, the two new coordinators.
Yeah. And, who was the one that had the two pick sixes?
That is Kendrick Clark.
Yeah, I'm going to say he had this game circled.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a talk about a scouting report.
Right.
So, yeah, Chris, what are going to be your keys for this game for the Austin Peay Governors to get another win at home?
Well, I mean, we kind of already talked about it. I mean, I look at Devin Winder as, I mean, last week at Southern Utah, he went 14-26 for just 142 yards and one touchdown, sacked twice. He did run the ball for 60 yards on 11 carries, but I think if you can take him out of the passing game, force him to run, I think that can only do wonders for the Govs.
Yeah, I mean, you can't let him do what he did last year where he was just airing it out 50 times. And yeah, people, I mean, granted, it was a bend don't break kind of defense last year because they didn't score that many points and also he got the win.
Yeah.
But, you know, they like to go for those easy passes across the middle. They like to do a lot of screen stuff. And then once you're expecting a pass, they like to just jam it down your throat and run the ball all night. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, and I think I actually said that backwards.
Make him run or make him throw it. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say is make him throw it. Cause I apologize, but, force him to make those throw. Cause you know, like you said, I mean, he's had what, 8 picks already this year?
7. Yeah.
7.
Yeah.
Hopefully 8 by the time Saturday rolls around. But, yeah, I mean, I think if we can limit that, I think the Govs will have some success on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously, you got to stop the run, make him throw it. This secondary is way more talented than it was last year.
Yep.
You have Miles Wiley's played incredible. Raylan Manley's been awesome. And neither one of those guys were here last year. I think it'll be – I'm not worried about him throwing for 400 yards again. I'll say that. I think we got to get a few sacks. If I had to make 3 keys, stop the run – control the penalties, get a couple sacks.
Yeah.
I think if you make him throw it, make him uncomfortable in the pocket, I'm not worried about our offense. I think our offense will be fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, I would put penalties right there at number one, first and foremost. But, yeah, I think this will be a game where guys like Wiley are going to have to be prepared for because, you know, like we just talked about a few minutes ago, you know, they've seen Ellis. They know what he can do. You know, Ellis may not see the ball as much as he'd like. The ball may not be thrown his way as many times as he'd like. So guys like Wiley are going to have to be ready.
Yeah, I mean,
I have no doubt they will.
I would never throw the ball to Ellis. It's a terrible idea. I think it'll definitely be interesting to see. I do probably think it'll be hard for us to establish the run game, like just because they are better against the run. They're not much worse than us. They're right behind us in rush defense. So it's a little bit easier to throw it on them, but they don't give up a ton through the air either. I think this is going to be a very Chris Parsons centric game. I think he's going to have to make something out of nothing quite a bit. We're going to probably have to make, you know, their secondary, Utah Tech secondary, no offense to them. It was pretty clear right away, though, that they couldn't play with us. I mean, they just don't have the athletes that we do. West Georgia has better athletes. I don't think you're going to be able to just out-athlete West Georgia like you can Utah Tech. I do think they're speedy. They have a couple good corners. So I think it's going to be a little harder to get separation. I think you're going to have to see Shamar Kirk, Kamar Maxwell have to make some plays. Like to see Jackson Head have another big game too, because it's kind of like what happened against Abilene. He had, you know, Abilene has really good corners, so our wide receivers kind of struggled getting open, especially in the first half, but the middle of the field was kind of open. I think that could be kind of the case here.
Yeah, I mean, love to see another 2-touchdown performance from a couple of weeks ago this weekend. I don't think anybody sitting at Fort Terry wearing red, white, and black will have a problem with that.
So let me ask you this. Do you think – I know the podcast guys, the other guys said that they think it's going to be a dogfight, low-scoring game.
Right.
Do you think that, or do you think it could turn into a shootout?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody expected the Abilene game to be a shootout. That's what it turned out to be. Man, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of with them. I think it'll be kind of a low-scoring affair. I mean, when I say low-scoring, I don't mean, like – obviously, I don't mean, like, 13 to 10 or anything like that. But I mean, I mean my score, I don't know if you want to go ahead and do scores.
Yeah, well, but, sure. Why not?
But I was looking at like a 24-21 or 21-17, something like that.
Okay, interesting. So you do think it'll, you don't think either team's going to pull away or anything?
I mean, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Hey, our predictions, our predictions have been pretty good.
They've been pretty close. Yeah. Yeah, except Abilene. We were both off on it. So, but yeah, I'm gonna go Govs 21-17.
Okay, so yeah, I'm kind of similar. I do think, like, you just look at last year. Obviously, both teams have a lot of stuff different on their roster. Completely different offense for Austin Peay. I do think we'll be able to have a little bit more efficient through the air than we were last year. I mean, last year Austin Smith did not have a good game. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's weird because I think the key this year will be different than it was last year. Because last year we could not get anything going through the air and we rushed for like 200 something yards. This year, I think it'll be the opposite. I don't think we'll be able to get much going on the ground unless Chris Parson has some big runs again. But I think this will be definitely, if we do damage, it'll be through the air. So I think we will be able to do that. And I think the final score will be 24-17. I think it's probably tied. I think it's probably 10-10 at halftime. I think it's kind of just a knockout, tough game, and the Govs get a late touchdown, able to hold them.
Yeah. I mean, just for the record, I can't speak for you, but I hope it's a similar result as last weekend. And
oh, of course, but you know,
we're sitting comfortable at halftime, so.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for every UAC game to go that way, but I mean, realistically, you know what else is notable about this game? If we win, we'll have already tied last year's win total.
Yep, I thought about that earlier. I was like, yep.
So, I mean, I know Coach doesn't see it this way, but you're kind of playing with house money if you think about it, because you're pretty much guaranteed an improved season over last year. I mean, you got a FBS win already. You already are at three wins. Like, don't take that the wrong way. Like, he obviously is not even close to satisfied. I'm just saying you have a chance to beat your season, tie your season win total already, and you've already got more home wins this year than you had all last year. So, and a little birdie told me and you that this might be close to a sellout.
I hope so. I mean, I don't want to keep up bringing Tennessee up in the mix, but they're off this week. So,
good point.
To, you know, no excuse to not. I don't think it's going to be too hot again. Last week was, I mean, at the beginning of the game it was a little hot, but towards the end it was almost perfect. For us anyway. I'm sure it was hot on the field for the guys, but so they'll probably think I'm crazy if they're listening to this, but.
Dude, I'm so tired of this, though. Like, at some point, it's freaking October. Like, I was expecting this game to be, you know, low 70s maybe. And no, it's going to be damn near 90 again.
Like, oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 88 degrees.
Okay, well, take that last point out.
I mean, it just
– I had no idea. I thought
– I just looked, too. I didn't know either. But I'm so ready for those cool home games. And we ain't getting it this weekend, but
no.
Hey, free hot dogs for the first 1,000 people.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting route to take. So,
well, hey, listen, here's my pitch. This is my pitch to Clarksville and the surrounding area. You have a chance to go in beautiful weather, a little warm maybe, but beautiful sunny weather. Two ranked teams playing football against each other in Clarksville. Very affordable ticket prices. You get a free hot dog. Tennessee Vols are not playing. Like, what else? Why would you not be there? What excuse do you have to not be at the fort this Saturday? Yeah. And don't give me that wedding excuse. If your friend, if you're being dragged to a wedding this weekend, they don't need to be your friend. This is the perfect opportunity. Everybody loves times like this. You get to see your hometown team playing a ranked game. I mean, what else can you ask for?
Yeah,
I was so surprised because you texted me and you were like, yeah, I don't even have plans this weekend. I'm like, let's go. It's a perfect setup.
Yep. For once, I have no plans. So,
yeah. So hopefully we see a lot of you guys at the fort. I think it'll be a great, great atmosphere. It always has been. I mean, we've had a couple great crowds. So I think it's been around 7,000 both weeks. So,
yeah, I'd like to see us get closer to that 10,000 this weekend. And, you know, like you said, it's supposed to be a little warm, but, no excuse not to get out and, try and get out there a little early, do some little tailgating and, free advertising here for Kyle and doing the pregame show 3 hours before kickoff.
Yeah. The tailgate experience.
I think I said this Sunday, but credit to whoever come up with that idea, because I turned it on 104 last Saturday morning around 10 o'clock and they were already talking about the game. I was like, wow.
Yep.
I said, I like this.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, so credit goes to them on that.
So we'll end here. We both predict a win, a hard-fought Govs win. Now we'll go do what we always do, and we'll look at the rest of the UAC games this weekend. So you have four games. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who is on bye. So EKU is not on here, and who is the other one? Tarleton Avenue,
Utah, Texas.
Both Utahs are there. North Alabama's there. Central Arkansas's there. Tarleton's there. Abilene's there. Am I going crazy? Somebody's listening to this and they're being like, it's obviously this team, idiot.
No, it's just it's just the one.
Oh, the one really?
That you said, yeah, because there's nine teams.
Oh. I forget that. Okay. So, yeah, it's EKU is the only one that's off this week.
Yeah, that's fantastic. They get a week off while we're playing, and we play them their place next week. So,
yeah, we get to play an undefeated team. They get to sleep in.
Stay at home. Yeah.
So, obviously, North Alabama and Abilene, that'll be interesting. Probably not, actually. I think Abilene will probably cream them. Abilene's coming off a loss. They're going to be pissed. They got smoked last week by Incarnate Word, but they are 1-0 in the UAC. So, and then do you know what North Alabama did last week? They lost a close game to Illinois State, which actually was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean Illinois State's a good team. They're right there in the top 10 now, and they got a big game this week against number one North Dakota State. That'd be pretty interesting game.
Yeah, that should be a good game. And you have Central Arkansas still looking for their first UAC win, and Utah Tech is as well. So somebody's going to get their first UAC win this weekend between Utah Tech and Central. Yeah. I definitely think Utah Tech's going to win that. So you know what's interesting? They had to go. That kind of sucks for them. So just last week, they had to come all the way from Utah to Tennessee. And then it presumably went back to Utah for like 3 days. And then now they're all the way back, almost all the way back to Tennessee.
Yeah, that's a lot of mileage. I heard Brian Reeves talking to their radio guy before the game last week. And he said, whoever made y'all schedule for this year needs to be fired. And the radio guy said, well, we have a new athletic director, if that tells you anything.
And they're going to a new conference too. Their beat reporter that was in the press box with us, he was saying they're lucky because next year most of their games are going to be within a bus ride. So,
and that had to play a part in going to the Big Sky too.
Oh, definitely. Like,
you know, had to be.
Instead of flying across the country three times a year, they get to take a bus everywhere. So
yeah. And that'd have been even worse had they said in the UAC, when the ASUN becomes the UAC and you start, you know, for basketball and baseball and everything else. So expenses would add up big time.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last UAC game, which, I mean, come on, Tarleton's a freaking wagon. But Southern Utah has been very competitive this year. Their record isn't very pretty. But if you look at their scores, I mean, they beat Idaho State in the first game of the year, which is impressive. They lost close games to San Diego, Northern Arizona, pretty close to UC Davis, and then they last second lost to West Georgia. So that is a pretty impressive resume to be 1-4. And yeah. Tarleton, you know, they're not going to roll over for Tarleton.
No, and, you know, and Tarleton's been kind of getting some, you know, getting some criticism for their ranking at number three, just, you know, going off their schedule of who they played.
I mean, is,
you know, Army, I mean, it's an FBS win. It's similar to our win versus MTSU. I think I saw where their combined record of who they've played, I think there's only two wins.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Chattanooga is.
I'm not saying they're not good. They're good, but
no, they're damn good. But yeah. Number three might be a little rich. We just don't know yet. I mean, like you said, let's look at their wins. So they destroyed Portland State. Portland State hasn't won a game. So Portland State's 0-5. So that's not impressive. Army, they beat Army in overtime. Okay, Army's not that good this year either. They're 1-3. I mean, I don't think that Tarleton beating Army is by three is any more impressive than us beating Middle the way that we did.
Right.
So I think that's a wash. Then you go to week three, Mississippi Valley State is terrible every single year. So that's not impressive. Central Arkansas is terrible. That's not impressive. I mean, you can maybe say it's impressive to beat conference opponent by 46 points. I mean, they did kill them. I mean, they didn't barely beat. I mean,
and it was on the road. So
they did. They won a road conference game by 46 points. So I guess I actually changed my mind. I'll say that's impressive.
Yeah. But
then Chattanooga at home. I mean, Chattanooga sucks this year. I don't think that's that impressive either.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, that's at Southern Utah. So, I mean, Southern Utah may give them a fight. I don't know. And they may – Tarleton fans might come at us for that one, but they might beat them like they did Central Arkansas. I don't know. So,
well, I mean, if they do, that will definitely impress me. And I'm not saying – like, they're still the best. I picked them to win the conference. So, I'm not, like, saying they suck or anything. I'm just
– No.
Maybe let's pump the brakes on the top five rankings. I mean, if they play somebody with a pulse. Chattanooga got killed by the Citadel, by the way. So that tells you all you need to know about Chattanooga this year.
And they didn't look good against Tech either.
Well, could you imagine me telling you like 5 years ago that Chattanooga looks horrible? Like Tennessee Tech is like magnitudes better than Chattanooga. Like nobody would have ever thought that.
Tech has got a juggernaut down there in Cookeville. They've had a good year so far, and their offense is putting up some numbers.
Yeah, they put
crazy
up
crazy
like,
numbers.
It's like the top offense in the country. Put up like 60 points a game.
Yeah, so they've come a long way. And then, you know, if you've watched any of their games at home, I mean, they got half a stadium right now. So
really?
Their whole entire home side is being rebuilt.
And tore
it all down and then rebuilding it. So,
gotcha.
So only the visitor side is able to is for seats. So safe to say, I think if we get matched up with them in the playoffs down the road, this is a long way down the road. I don't think they're going to be hosting a playoff game anytime this year.
Yeah, probably not. Okay. Well, anything else you want to hit on? We got our prediction for this game. The rest of the UAC stuff.
No, not really. Just I hope a lot of y'all show up to the game on Saturday. Like we said, it's supposed to be nice weather. Top 25, top 20 matchup. Big game. Free hot dogs for the first 1,000 people. So, no excuse.
Yeah, for sure. And also, by the way, guys, like if you don't like sitting in bleachers or something, like give the Buffalo Wild Wings, the VIP zone, a try. I think it's $40 and you get free drinks and free food and you get to stand in the end zone. Like, that's a great deal. So
Yeah, I mean, we stayed down there the entire second. Well, I stayed down there in the entire second half last week, and I mean, you're field level.
yeah, I mean,
So,
I'm probably gonna stay there the whole game this week too, just because I like being on field level. I like seeing it. I don't like the bird's eye view necessarily. So
yeah, I get that every Friday night. I like to see the, I like to get it, see the action on the ground on Saturday. So.
any good high school games this weekend? People like when we talk about that.
I can look it up real quick. I know we, when I say we, Clarksville Academy, we got to go to Ezo Hardin tomorrow night. It's a big game for us. We've already eclipsed our win total from last year. We're 3-3. Ezo is also 3-3. So, I mean, this could potentially depend on between the two of us who could host a playoff game, which after last season, I never imagined that we would even have that opportunity, but we do have a good chance, and tomorrow would certainly help. I can look. Let's see. Calvin
Yeah,
usually
Calvin,
has them.
I got it pulled up already.
Okay,
He,
cool.
yeah, guys, check out Calvin White, Main Street Preps. He's awesome. Sits next to me in the press box. So you got Clarksville, CHS is playing Siegel,
That
Rossview.
game is tonight, actually.
Yeah, I think Rossview and Cane Ridge is too. And then you have Kirkwood at Laverne, West Creek at McGavick, Henry County,
Henry County is
at
at Northeast.
Northeast,
Yep.
Northwest at Creekwood, Montgomery Central at Battle Creek, Maplewood at Kenwood, and Clarksville Academy at Ezell Harding. Oh no, Calvin, come on, man. Did you see his prediction for the
I did see that.
Hey, he went 6-0 last week. That's impressive.
I'll have to look for him on Saturday if we win tomorrow night. So,
All right.
but yeah, I mean, as far as high school goes, I mean, Kirkwood, they're 5-1. Their only loss is to East Robertson, who I think is undefeated. And that was a very close game a couple weeks ago. They have a great team. Very good team. Clarksville 4-2. I would say they're probably the top two teams in the city.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So,
What's new?
yep.
Kirkwood has a couple. Kirkwood's left tackle's committed to Tennessee. Did you see that? He
Yep.
flipped. He w committed to South Carolina originally, and then he flipped to Tennessee. So.
Yeah, they have a I believe he plays tight end, and he plays, I think he's a linebacker or D back, one of the two. Keenan
Yeah, he's been nasty too.
Hudson, not Hudson, I'm sorry, that's his brother. Well, man, my mind's gone blank. His last name is Keenan.
Yeah.
But he's I believe he's a four star already. And he's already had visits to Florida State and had some pretty good visits to some good schools. So and I think Austin Peay is on that list as well. So,
Yep.
yep.
Definitely interesting.
Yep.
So
So,
get out there and watch some local football this weekend. Your Vols are not playing, your Titans are not worth watching. Go out and watch some local football.
yeah, I think the only ones at home this week is Northeast. But if any of y'all want to brave the drive to Antioch on a Friday night with me, come on.
There you go. All
So.
right. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here tonight?
No, I was trying to look at the score for the soccer. I think they tied it. They're at North Alabama, and I think they're late. So last I saw it was 1-1. So hey, scored another goal. Baby steps.
I mean, all we do is beat North Alabama and everything, so.
Yeah, that would be I'd be all right with that. Here.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. Well, it'll be on the our Twitter. We'll tweet about it if we win.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll see y'all Saturday. Let's go.
All right, let's go pee.
Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need, with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.